gossip and goddesses after this.
On BBC Radio 4.
Over 80% of described animals on our planet are insects. But how much do we really know about them?
They're very aerodynamic, they're very acrobatic.
These fleas can jump 30,000 times without stopping. It's really rather a lot.
Join me, Dr. Erica McAllister, as I learn from our entomological pioneers and discover the treasure trove of insights that studying insects has given us.
I mean, the applications in this are quite extraordinary. My mind's just racing.
Metamorphosis, how insects transformed our world. Next Monday to Friday at 1:45 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Now on Radio 4, Gossip and Goddesses with Granny Kumar.
Quick, Maya, lock the door.
Care to tell me what the hell's going on?
They must have heard. Asha, that shameless foghorn, must have told them that this arrived this morning.
Right. But it's just an invitation.
That's like saying the Taj Mahal is just an extension with an onion on top. It's an invite to the Sagar's wedding. The wedding of the decade. The wedding every family from Winnipeg to Wembley is desperate to attend. And they've invited me.
You know I hate anything to do with wedding... with wedding... Actually, can we just change the subject?
No, it's this weekend, so you have to help me decide what I'm going to wear.
No, I'm me. I ain't wasting half a day watching you modelling your 78 cardigans.
I'm thinking block colours and jewel shades. Oh, I can ask advice from Anita Rani and Aisha Hazarika. They're both such style icons. Oh, and don't mention this to Geeta. She was expecting an invite weeks ago. She will be so upset.
Hello, everyone.
I've been invited to the Sagar's wedding, Geeta.
I'm me. You said not to say anything.
One moment. Let me take my earphones out.
Especially...
That's better. I always like listening to inspirational podcasts on show days.
Oh, me too. I've been rolling through Michelle Obama's book. What's yours, Auntie Geeta?
Preeti Patel's gardening tips, Breaking Bud. So uplifting. What were you saying, Umi?
She was saying Anita Rani has arrived. I'll get her. Remember what this show is about. Ditch the bitchery and be nice, all right?
Preeti Patel's gardening tips, huh?
Yes.
I was going to make some joke about invasive species and overgrown borders, but I'm too excited because guess what? I'm going to give Anita a big ummy cuddle.
Oh, hello. Welcome.
Oh, welcome to Wembley Community Centre. So thrilled you're on my show.
It's so nice to be here.
Our show, actually. Geeta Bhandari, MBE, and... co-host. Sorry, Umi. What were you going to say before Anita came in?
Nothing. She's not saying anything, are you?
No, except maybe can I borrow your battery-operated chin hair remover this weekend?
Oh, going somewhere special?
No, just me time.
Of course, darling. Anything for my best friend. That's what this show is all about, Anita. Sisterhood. May I accompany you to the stage? See you out there, Umi.
Okay, bye, darling. Bye,
bye-bye,
Anita.
Bye. Okay. She's lending you her chin hair remover. That's huge. Now, you have to fess up and tell her you've been invited to...
Oh, sorry. Too late. Bye.
And Geeta.
Oof, just made it. Now, our next goddess was born and brought up in Bradford. She hosted her first show at the age of 14, went on to study journalism, and has become one of our most recognised and loved broadcasters. And she bakes like a boss and dances a mean tango. Ladies, welcome the brilliant, super sharp beauty, Anita Rani.
Thank you.
Now, Anita, darling, you are a proud Bradford lass, aren't you?
I am, absolutely. Grew up in Yorkshire.
What was it like growing up around so many Asians? Because we're nosy buggers, aren't we?
Yeah, there's quite a small, tight-knit Indian community and even tighter-knit Punjabi community, because I am Punjabi. And everybody knows everybody. They all know my mum and my dad. And so even now when someone says, oh, we know someone in Bradford, and you kind of want to roll your eyes and go, yeah, but the chances of us knowing them, but actually, actually. They probably do know us. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Darling, you're a strong woman and you're not afraid to break a few rules, but still, we're the mafia of aunties on your case.
Or as we call them, the Illuminantes.
Oh, yes, the Illuminantes, definitely on my case. Oh. I didn't really fit the mould. Good Indian girls are supposed to be quiet and demure and not say much. And I was quite noisy, rowdy, loved Doc Martens, painted my nails black, pierced my nose, and never wore makeup and just used to wear really baggy clothes. And that was quite a...
Hi, jungly.
Yeah, I was seen as a jungle.
I love that. Girl after my own heart. Did you ever go to Ilklimore Bartat? And did you take your own picnic of Paranti wrapped in silver foil and really smelly pickles?
You're taking me back to my childhood now. I absolutely hated those picnics when I was a kid. All I wanted was cheese sandwiches and a flask of coffee. But we had aloo vera pronte, samosa, we had chutney, we had ketchup. Obviously. And now I look back and I just think nothing better. Now I'm packing those picnics. But yeah, we'd go to Ilklimore every weekend with a football and run around. We'd often be the only brown people up there. But it's changed now. It's changed. Lots of Asians are venturing out onto Ilklimore, I'm pleased to say.
But you've talked a lot about your mummy and she sounds like a real warrior, as many of our mothers were. She sounds like she encouraged your rebel spirit.
Yeah, mum's a firecracker. I think mum was a rebel growing up in India. She grew up in India, moved to Britain to marry my dad, met him at Heathrow Airport. Yeah. Can you imagine?
That the first time she saw him at the airport?
At the airport, yeah.
You have to be careful. There's so many Asians there. You could go with the wrong person. I also hear your father took you out for your first pint at 14. I love the sound of him.
He'd love you too.
Is that a northern custom, darling?
Well, actually, the northern custom is to only buy women half a pint. So my dad refused to buy me a pint, and he still does refuse to buy me a pint.
Oh, and we saw you with your lovely papa on Gogglebox. We love that show, don't we, ladies? Was that hard work, getting paid to watch TV and eat crisps?
I mean, really tough. A really tough gig. But I feel like I'd been preparing for it my entire life, because me and dad have spent basically years shouting at the telly together.
Yeah. And didn't your very handsome papa get loads of fan mail afterwards?
I only wrote 5 letters. 5.
All right.
Somebody did say, ooh, he's like the Indian George Clooney. Oh.
That's exactly who I thought of when I saw him. Now, Anita, I'm a Flex FM sort of gal, but a lot of our Silverbatch ladies love the classic Asian radio station, Sunrise Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, you got your first presenting job on Sunrise at the tender age of 14. How did that happen?
Well done.
Mum is really adventurous and really, she's a real go-getter. So she'd already turned up and was doing some work there. And then I turned up at 14 and thought, I love this, I'd love to have a go. Mm. And they just stuck me in front of the microphone and it was brilliant. I absolutely loved it. And then it just made sense that that's the career path I would follow.
So wonderful. That led you to study journalism at Leeds University.
Oh, very good.
Were there many other brown girls on your course?
No, I was the only brown girl on a course of 32 to do broadcasting at Leeds Uni.
Were you conscious then, even then, of being the only one in the room? Because a lot of our goddesses have talked about this feeling.
What it does is it makes you take off your edges. And what you find is that you're not bringing your true self to every environment, and it's quite exhausting.
So
I had this compartmentalized life where I was the Anita that people at work or at uni got, and it was still me. I was absolutely that person. But then I'd go home and I was, you know, and that Anita, or Nitu as I'm called, that's my Indian name at home, Nitu, yeah.
Good.
Named after Nitu Singh, the actress.
Beautiful.
No, that's not a lie.
And Anita, I read that after graduating you became a researcher. What was your first big break?
I worked for a brilliant little small independent TV company that made music programmes. And I was the researcher on a show and they needed a roving reporter. Mm. And the programme was called Get Your Hits Out.
I see what you did there.
Yes.
You didn't though, did you?
No, I didn't. Good. Never. Still haven't. And then that showreel got taken without me knowing by the company to a commissioner at Channel 5 who happened to be a Punjabi man called Sham Sandhu. And I'm going to mention him because he is Amazing. He doesn't work in telly anymore. But he said she's got something.
Well, we know that you are a huge role model to many young women like lovely Maya, who is also a pioneer like you, darling.
Studying international politics and plumbing.
Ah. Good girl, Maya. And plumbing.
Yeah. Ah, yes. One day she'll be able to unblock Boris Johnson's U-bend.
That's enough politics, thank you. It's so boring. But what wasn't boring was Anita's brilliant episode of Who Do You Think You Are?
Oh, we love that, Anita. What a journey that was for you. Tell us how it started, darling.
I knew that partition of India was part of my family story because we're from that region. We're from Punjab. 15 million people were displaced. 1 million people died. And my maternal grandfather lost his wife, father and 2 children and was left completely alone. Like with nobody, like absolute tragedy.
Yeah.
But what I didn't know was he wrote a beautiful memoir in English and Punjabi and then had 4 daughters and was adamant that he was going to educate them. So he was like, you know, a proper feminist, my grandpa. So I feel really proud to have got a bit closer to him. But in terms of it going out on British telly, that was the moment where like so many people got in touch with me to say, how do we not know this? We're a nation obsessed with history, and yet we don't know what happened at the end of empire, at the end of partition. And so that led to me making another program all about it. We need to talk about this stuff, don't we? We need to understand.
Of course. Yes, that was My Family and Me, wasn't it?
Yes,
India,
exactly.
1947. And for which you won an RDS award.
Thanks, Ami.
Bless you from all of us, because you're quite right. We don't talk about this history. I can't wait to hear what question our Silver Bats ladies have for you today. Maya, the roving mic, please.
Go ahead, Auntie.
Hello, Betty.
Hello.
When you were on Strictly, did you worry your tassels were going to fall off? Because we were all worried for you.
You were, weren't we?
Really. There was a moment where I got lifted up and my dress was stuck up my butt crack. And it is like the most... I'm not going to say which dance because everyone will just Google it to try and find it. But it was pretty humiliating.
Shame they didn't do a Bhangra section because you would have won the whole thing. Huh?
Well, that's how unconscious bias works, isn't it?
What? Unconscious what now?
Oh, leave it, Maya. My blood pressure can't take it.
She's right, though. You're totally spot on. I'm fist bumping you right now.
Fist pump.
Oh, I love a fist bump. But Anita, darling, you smashed yet another glass ceiling when you became the first sister to present the BBC classic show Country Fire.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Country Fire.
Now, that must have been a big scoop for you because that's such a mainstream Middle England show, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd been working on the one show for a little while and then Country Fire came calling. 30 years of British heartland TV history. This is like, you know, I'm about to work with John Craven. Absolutely amazing. I love it. I absolutely love it. And somebody once asked me, a journalist, what does the Asian community think of me being on Country File? And I said, look, the Asian community, I think I can say this, are very proud of the work I do and they follow me and they know where I am and they'll come to the shows. I think it's more important for the rest of Britain to see me on Country Mile. Yeah, so absolutely.
Why shouldn't we talk about badgers like everybody else? That's what I say.
Completely.
Darling, you know when you go to some of those very beautiful remote places on Country Mile and does anyone ever chase you with pitchforks?
No, no one's chased me with a pitchfork yet.
Ginda, it only happened the once, darling. Our pedalo got swept out to sea just off the Kent coast. Wrong time, wrong place.
It's horrible.
But, darling, another thing you did right is that you found a lovely husband, Boopy. We love his name. He sounds so cuddly, tubby and hairy. Oh, that's all Punjabi men, though, really, isn't it? But he obviously loves your success, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's cool. He's cool. Yeah, I found the dream. Indian son-in-law, a lovely puppy.
Why are we so obsessed with marriage, Anita?
This is actually a very good question, and my advice is just do you. Yeah, we are too obsessed with marriage.
Of course, we all have choice.
This is what we fought for, not choice. Absolutely.
Preach, Anita.
Ataki, I love a good wedding, though. I was wondering if you've been invited to the Sagar's wedding this weekend. You're not going, are you, Anita?
No, I've not been invited, sorry.
Me? Got anything to say?
Nope.
Other than Darling Anita, what is next on the Smashing the Glass Ceiling list? What have you got coming up?
A new series on BBC Two, which I'm really, really proud of, that you'll be able to see at some point this year, called Unforgotten. Yeah. But I've written a memoir.
That's very exciting.
It's sort of like a letter to my little self. Giving myself all the lessons that I now want to impart to anybody. It's a universal story of being a bit of a misfit and an outsider, and everyone feels like that as a teenager, don't they? But also there's a lot of lessons to any young Asian girls that might feel a little lonely.
Stop, you're making me cry.
I know, I'm feeling a bit teary. Please know we all see you and we are so proud of you. Please give it up for the wonderful Anita Rani.
Oh, I love my aunties.
Thank you.
Oh, that was a fantastic interview, Anita. You come across as so wise and kind. Because I was wondering if you would do me a huge favour. I have to tell Geeta something slightly awkward. And would you mind? I've written it all down. And here's Geeta now.
Oh, that was just glorious, Anita.
I'm just off to fetch Aisha from the car park. Good luck, Anita.
Yeah, thanks. Well, Geeta, I've been asked to tell you that Ummi has been invited to the Suggers' wedding party this weekend, even though she hardly knows them, and you offered up a kidney when their son was ill. She hopes you don't mind. And P.S., can she still borrow your chin hair remover?
I see. Thank you for letting me know so beautifully, Anita. Do excuse me for a moment.
How did it go?
Okay, I think. I mean, she was a bit upset.
Oh, well, you're not bleeding, so it sounds like it went quite well. And here is the utterly wonderful Aisha Hazarika.
Hello.
Welcome, darling. Such an honour to have you. Do you know the lovely Anita?
I do. I'm a big fan of Anita's, as is my mum. Oh. My mum loves you.
Oh, you got the mum seal of approval. What is it, Maya?
Auntie Geeta looked a bit upset. Oh, wait, does she know about the Suggers' wedding?
Yes. My co-host Geeta's just a little upset. I got invited to this big wedding and she didn't. But Anita told her and she's absolutely fine. And we are going to have a great show. See you out there, ladies. Bye.
Gossip and Goddesses with Granny Kumar. Gossip and Goddesses with Granny Kumar.
And Geeta.
Now, our next guest is a multi-talented goddess who is a brilliant stand-up comedian, broadcaster and journalist. A former political advisor to the Labour Party, she sharp as a whip and regularly puts the fun back into feminism. Please welcome the mighty Aisha Hazarika. Why are you moving your chair over there, Geeta?
I think you know why. Carry on.
Okay. So, darling Aisha, we are so pumped to have you here. Now, our Silverbats ladies group saw your wonderful stand-up show, State of the Nation, in Edinburgh. Wasn't that a huge hit for you? A perfect marriage of your two loves of comedy and politics?
I just love comedy and I love politics, although sometimes you can't tell which one is which. The only problem with it was, on the day that I launched my show, I had it all written. My agent said to me, just get your head in the space. Don't look at your phone. Turn your phone off. So I'd spent, you know, 5 hours just getting myself, and I looked at my phone and there was about 87 missed messages. Oh. And I turned on the telly and Theresa May had just announced a snap general election. So I had to rewrite the whole front bit of my show.
Right there and then. That's living on the edge. Now, if you did a State of the Nation show now, would it be a Greek tragedy or a trouser-dropping farce?
I think probably a combination of both, with some weapons-grade incompetence thrown in as well.
Yes. Oh, darling, I love your accent. Where's it from?
Oh, my days, Auntie Geeta.
It just says Court Bridge in the research notes. Is that somewhere remote in Wales, darling?
Sorry about her.
It's near Glasgow. Ooh. And that is where my mum and dad moved to when they first came from India to here. Hmm. And it was quite tough growing up there because my dad is a doctor, obviously.
Obviously. Good girl.
And he did, like us all, you know, suffer a bit of racism when he first came here. Not many brown people in Coatbridge.
And you actually described your childhood as the only Asian in the village.
Only Asian in the village. And one of my dad's patients one day said to him, "What are you?" And he said, "I'm a Muslim." And he went, "Aye, but what kind? A Rangers Muslim or a Celtic Muslim?"
Aisha Didi, you rock. And I was just wondering, was it because you were an outsider that you learned to be funny? I mean, was it like your armour in a way?
Yeah, that's very good. Oh, you should be a psychologist. That was a very good observation. Yeah, so when I got bullied, I sort of worked out quite early on that in order to sort of try and hit back, but also protect myself a bit, if I could make people laugh, they wouldn't attack me.
Oh, that's horrible. You got bullied.
Mainly by my family, but like, you know.
You're very good. Now, we are all rebellious women here. Of course, Anita has smashed all those glass ceilings. Maya here is studying plumbing and international politics.
Oh, you'll be very good for all the leaks then, wouldn't you?
She would, very good. Yeah. And back home, I was the first woman in my village to organise a sex strike. And not for anything specific, we just needed a rest. But Aisha, you have said that you were an out-and-out rebel.
Certainly when I was starting out, was it 20, 25 years ago, you didn't see that many women doing stand-up. You certainly didn't see anybody like me doing stand-up. Somebody like me, you would not see in politics or Parliament or Westminster. Somebody like me, you wouldn't really see on Newsnight or, you know, being a political commentator. So I feel I have always been a bit of a rebel, but there's so few people like us in politics that when I went into the House of Commons one day, they thought I was Baroness Saida Varsi.
Yes, because we all look the same.
Exactly.
Yes, we do. Very much like Anita, you know, that she was also often the only one in the room.
Yes, of course. And how did you, do you think that's changed now?
Slowly. I mean, look at this. This is amazing, isn't it? On Radio 4 as well. This is like...
You won't believe who I had to sleep with to get this gig.
But was it at uni when you were studying law that your passion for women's equality began, Aisha?
So, when I first entered the world of work, I just saw this glaring imbalance, and I have always been seized to do something about it. And I was very lucky. I worked with an amazing feminist MP, Harriet Harman.
Ah, yeah. Ah.
It was like a feminist apprenticeship.
Uh-huh. But firstly, you were working at the Department of Trade and Industry, and then you started to do stand-up. Was it being surrounded by civil servants that pushed you over the edge?
I think it was. I think I had a sort of mid-20s sort of crisis or a quarter-life crisis, and I thought, I can't just spend the rest of my life being a civil servant. I have to try and do something different. And my friends had always said to me, oh, you're really funny and you always make people laugh in the office. Why don't you try stand-up? And so I saw this course advertised and I went for it. And yeah, I then had this double life. I would by day be a sort of press officer with my little suit and heels, briefing the press on behalf of the Secretary of State for Business.
And then you went into a telephone booth,
yes,
ripped off your costume and you became by night
a really grubby stand-up. Uh-huh.
You know, when I was young, women weren't allowed to be funny. You were only permitted to laugh at men's jokes in a fluffy, girlish manner. Yes, exactly like that. Funny women were seen as slutty and dangerous, which
oh,
is...
Oh, I like that.
Well, that's why I spent most of my honeymoon telling fart jokes. But why do you both think that men fear funny women?
I think it's because humour is a sign of power. Humour can be a very powerful way of holding court. And there's a bit of wit involved with humour. You know, you have to be quite smart to make a joke, you know, and get it and everything like that. You know, it's always been used as a means of, you know, being a bit alpha, holding court. And I think that's why a lot of men don't like it, because the sort of narrative is that that's what men should do. Men should hold court, and women, as you should sort of be appreciative.
And what does that say about the man's security or insecurity, you know, that you can't handle a woman being equal to you, or if not a little bit more? I think we need to bring up our boys differently.
Absolutely.
That's what it's about. We need to start educating them and teaching them that this is exactly what you want from the woman in your life.
Yes. You want a partner, not a doormat.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I read that you had to claw your way into the room where decisions were being made. What was that like, being the only sister in a room full of male, pale and stale?
I don't like this thing if there can just be only one woman in the room.
No.
This is
the quota system.
Yeah, why should there? You know, it's not like Highlander, there can be only one.
It feels like that way.
And it sets women up to compete against each other. There should be a critical mass of, like here.
Yeah.
A critical mass of women in the room.
Of course. Now, darling, I know our silver bats ladies have been dying to ask you a question, literally, as their average age is 84. So, Maya, the roving mic, if you please.
Hello, Aisha Blondie.
Louder, Auntie Sunita.
I can't. My throat was hot tea. Aisha Betty, you got an MBE in 2016.
Wonderful! Wonderful!
How come
Oh, well, that's so kind for mentioning that. Actually, when I got the news about my MBE, I phoned up my mum immediately and I was like, Mum, guess what? I've got an MBE. And the phone went really quiet and she went, only MBE?
So difficult.
But thank you about why I look so young. I think it's all the fat pushing the wrinkles out.
No. No, black don't crack and beige don't age. Isn't that right, Anita?
And brown don't frown.
There you go.
That's right.
But do either of you use any desi home beauty treatments? I rinse my hair in yoghurt and gives it a strange smell, but, oh, a lovely shine.
Do you know, I've got a mum who's obsessed with beauty. She'll still phone me, say, have you got the face back on? Yeah. And it's always everything in the fridge. A bit of haldi, some turmeric, some yoghurt, honey, mix it up.
Oh. My general rule is haldi with everything. It's amazing.
It is like...
I remember my whole body was rubbed with turmeric on my wedding night. You know, my fufu glowed like a Belisha beacon and he still couldn't find it.
Way too much information. Aisha, Didi, can you tell us about your brilliant book about PMQT?
No, I'm sorry, Maya. I know Aisha's a feminist, but no more female downstairs talk, please.
No, it's not PMT, you vacuous vole. Huh? PMQT, never mind. Aisha, tell us about your book, Punch and Judy Politics.
So one of my big jobs when I worked in politics was to prepare leaders for Prime Minister's questions, which I think you may have all seen on telly.
Oh, yeah.
Punch and Judy is because it is quite Punch and Judy. It's quite aggressive, but it's still an important function of British democracy.
Mm. Jesus. Now, both of you have done radio shows where you've played loads of music, and the only thing that gets me out of bed in the morning, besides a full bladder, is a blast of Aretha Franklin singing Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves. Do either of you have a favourite feminist anthem?
Give me a classic... Asha Bhosle, R.D. Burman, combination.
Yes.
It's like classic Bollywood.
What about you, Aisha?
It's got to be a bit of Dolly Parton, bit of 9 to 5.
I love Dolly Parton.
I used to love The Wind Beneath My Wings, but sadly, my best friend has proved to be all wind and no wings.
Oh, my God. Is this about the stupid Sugar's wedding? Okay, I won't go. Happy?
Yes.
All right, that's all we've got time for. But please, let me say a huge and heartfelt thank you to both our gorgeous goddesses, Anita Rani and Aisha Hazarika. Vale, vale.
I'm proud of you, Ummi. That was the sisterly thing to do.
Cheer up, Ummi. You wouldn't have enjoyed the Sagar's do anyway.
How the hell do you know that?
Because...
Hey, who said you could open my invitation?
This one's mine.
Eh?
We haven't been invited to the actual wedding.
No way. Let me see. Please join us at 10 a.m. on Sunday.
To listen to celebrity Swami Devananda, hot from Hollywood hit show What's My Karma?
For 5 hours of your favourite devotional songs to bless the happy couple.
Bring your own cushion. They've invited us to the religious bit.
Yes.
Not the dancing and getting shit-faced bit.
Yes.
Because we are old women.
Uh-huh.
See? This glittery bit of tat has caused nothing but trouble since it came into this place. It's evil, and so is everything around it. Shall we?
Yes, please.
Go on, then.
And that rank energy has finally left the building. Feels better already, doesn't it?
It really does. Thank you, Maya.
Yes, thank you, darling. Oh, I'm totally cured of wedding FOMO. Well, I guess the next wedding either of us go to will be yours, Maya.
And slam dunk.
Back of the net.
Gossip and Goddesses with Granny Kumar was written by Meera Sayal. The music was by Sanjeev Bhaskar. Ami was played by Meera Sayal. Geeta by Harvey Virg.